Hello there, intrepid podcast person, and welcome to a Culturephile digital single featuring our conversation with the pianist and composer Ethan Everson. Everson brings his solo piano sets to Dublin and Limerick this week, but Everson was formerly best known as the piano player in The Bad Plus, a band that found surprise overground success, blending demanding contemporary jazz and pop sensibilities. After years of intensive touring, Everson left that group and began working with an array of musical combinations, as well as blogging steadfastly on jazz and music more generally. He spoke to Culturephile about The Bad Plus days, standards and hits, and the music of Igor Stravinsky.
Hello, this is Ethan Everson.
It's morning in Brooklyn, and tomorrow I go off on the first leg of my touring for the season. Then I come home for a couple of days, and then I start off in Europe with London. This is a program called Into the Dark. It's actually my first solo piano tour of Europe. I've been touring Europe as a jazz musician for a long time, maybe 20 years or something like that. Well, longer, 25 years, mostly with The Bad Plus, the great group with Reed Anderson and Dave King. They have continued on without me. You know, sometimes you just need to have a change. We were together for 17 years and played a lot. You know, some years I saw them more than my wife, you know, and it just, we got tired of each other. They certainly got tired of me, and I get that. I'm a lot to deal with, Luke. Imagine if you had to be in a van with me, listening to me talk about Thelonious Monk and Mal Waldron year after year after year. The Bad Plus was well known for our covers. For example, I really still love to listen to our version of Iron Man, which was by Black Sabbath, of course, and Geezer Butler himself said to me at a LA party that he thought it was the best cover of a Black Sabbath song that he'd ever heard. To play Iron Man, you need a set of new tools. It needs to be a private endeavor. For standards, I feel that's more like you can play them at a jam session with people you don't know. You could probably do something creative with just about anything. I do admit, in terms of, shall we say, popular radio, it's gotten harder and harder over the years to find something you can just play at the piano. You know, I wouldn't denigrate the music exactly, but even Iron Man by Black Sabbath has things that you can just sit and play at the piano in a way that Taylor Swift and Beyonce, it's actually much harder. Stravinsky is one of my favorite composers. That's not a controversial statement, by the way. It's sort of like Thelonious Monk and Stravinsky. These are people everyone can agree were really great, you know. In my 20s, I listened to every Stravinsky work. It's not so much, actually. I mean, it's like 13 CDs worth of music. It's relatively easy to listen to all Stravinsky. And I got a lot of the scores, and I thought a lot about his journey and what his harmonic situation, especially, you know, harmonic. Rhythmic is also amazing, but Stravinsky's harmonies are awesome. So I didn't like The Rite of Spring as so much. I mean, compared to other things, I remember going to see a concert that included his small-scale opera called Oedipus Rex and The Rite of Spring. They were on the same program, and I really liked Oedipus Rex more. But the most famous Stravinsky piece is The Rite of Spring. So if you're going to try to do a Stravinsky cover, you've got to do Rite of Spring. You can't cover Oedipus Rex or Les Noces or Symphony of Wind Instruments or a lot of other of my favorite pieces. You've got to do Rite of Spring. So I got in there, I learned the work, and I have to say, it was a pleasure to learn it held up to the rep. It is a masterpiece. I mean, of course it's a masterpiece, but actually getting to play it showed me something else. It's been so influential that everything sounds like the Rite of Spring since. That includes jazz and prog rock and everything else. A lot of modern jazz sounds sort of like modern classical music, and my joke about the Bab Plus playing the Rite of Spring is it sounds like modern classical music except with better pitches, because there's a lot of modern jazz out there that's sort of thorny and complex, but the pitches are actually only okay. Stravinsky's pitches are very, very good all the time.
Tell me a little bit about pitches. What does that mean there?
Well, there are 12 in an octave. That's the chromatic scale. Essentially an infinite number of combinations if you can play them all together or one at a time. Two together, three together. Most chords in Western music are made of three pitches together, often built in thirds. Those are the triads, the major minor triads, and when you add a fourth pitch, that becomes a seventh. This is the story of my life, essentially, is dealing with triads and seventh chords. In jazz, a very important collection of these pitches is called 2-5-1. My teacher, Fred Hirsch, jokes that he's made a career of playing 2-5-1s for 50 years. And this is probably pretty true of anybody who plays piano in a jazz context.
You say there, you were saying there that the Rite of Spring sounds like a lot of modern music, but there was one particular thing in the Bab Plus version of it, in your version of it, that it did that little thing where it reminds you of La Vie en Rose, and I'd never heard that accentuated before, and now when I hear the Rite of Spring, I think, oh, there's the little bit of La Vie en Rose. When I try to research that, I get there. Oh no, there's no connection between these pieces. Do you have something to say on that? How the La Vie en Rose kind of appears in the Rite of Spring? Is that just you bringing it in, or are you seeing something in Stravinsky that makes you do it?
I'm a little flummoxed right now because I know exactly what you're talking about, but I never thought of it before. I literally never thought about da 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 da, da as being.
You're kidding.
Both Stravinsky and La Vie en Rose.
You pointed it out to me, I thought.
Right. So, you know, as I say, there are 12 chromatic pitches on the piano, which means there's not an infinite number of choices. And that tune that Stravinsky's using, it's actually, he's quoting from a Russian source. The first bassoon melody in Stravinsky, which is the La Vie en Rose moment, is actually predates Stravinsky from some folk materials. Reed Anderson did the prelude. I had little to do with that. I mean, I played it on the piano. That's me multi-track. But then Reed took the tracks and made a sort of computer synthesizer mix of it. It's really great. But he did drive that tune home a couple of times, and now I can see why you say it sounds like La Vie en Rose. But I don't think Reed meant that either.
Well, that's so interesting because, I mean, I was researching around this and I was looking, the composer of La Vie en Rose is Luigi, and he was in the same class as Dutilleux. And I thought, oh, maybe there's something going on there. I know the guy who's going to tell me the answer to these questions.
Sorry to let you down. This is more of happenstance than something intentional, I think. Most of the time when I've toured, it's been with trios or the Billy Hart Quartet. This is the first time I'm playing solo. And it does have a theme. The name of the program is Into the Dark. And that's chosen because I do like something that's cinematic. There's something maybe of a story about it. There's something evocative. A straight jazz piano recital can be just fantastic. But I also think there's room to have some kind of theme or organizing principle. So I'll be playing a few movie themes and also pieces of mine that have a sort of, at least an implied narrative. I'm playing Laura Palmer's theme. It's very sad we just lost David Lynch. He was so important to my whole social scene of musician. I don't even think you can be a Brooklyn jazz musician in the 21st century without loving David Lynch. Angelo Badalamenti is a fantastic composer. The question is there room for some kind of improvised elaboration? Is there room for an instrumental solo piano piece? And I think the answer is yes. But you can't call the theme song from Twin Peaks at a jam session yet. Maybe in time it will become a true standard.
Ethan Iverson talking to Culturefile there from his base in Brooklyn. His Into the Dark dates are at the Cooler Dublin, Friday 14th of March, with early and late shows, and then at the Triskel Cork on Saturday the 15th. Tickets from improvisedmusic.ie.